there's kind of four big areas that digital transformation impacts. Of course, it's not exhaustive, and I'll mention a couple of other outlying areas that, you know, different businesses may be interested in. But I mean, we see big potential impacts of digital transformation and tech maturity and operational efficiency in the area of customer experience, business growth, revenue growth, both in the B2C and B2B environments, and also kind of workforce transformation, which can be directly tied to operational efficiency, but it's not identical. So I would say in almost all cases, increased digital maturity would give you more orchestration of that data and the opportunity to better align things that are misaligned today. But the risks, right? I think the relationship of digital transformation there is several fold. I think the biggest area is you know, through better, more integrated, centralized orchestration of data has a huge role to play in that. It's allowing companies at the forefront to do really advanced data-driven segmentation, you know, really granular analysis on their customer files, understand, you know, who their customers are, buying behaviors, you know, the performance of different product families, service areas, right? All these different things, right?
Get ready to deep dive into the world of digital transformation, where we explore the latest trends, innovations, and challenges shaking up industries. Join us as we decode the secrets behind successful digital strategies and hear from experts who are at the forefront of disrupting the status quo. In each episode, we'll unravel the mysteries of the digital realm and uncover the hidden opportunities that lie within. From artificial intelligence to blockchain, from automation to cybersecurity, we'll leave no digital stone unturned. But hold on tight, because this podcast isn't your average tech talk. We're injecting a hefty dose of wit and humor into every episode, making learning about digital transformation an absolute blast. So if you're ready to embrace the digital revolution with a smile on your face, tune in to the Digital Disruption Podcast and get ready to be entertained, informed, and inspired. Don't miss out on the fun. Subscribe now and join us on this wild digital journey.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Digital Disruption Podcast. Hello, Patrick.
Hello, Daoud. How are you?
I'm all good. I am all good. New episode, as always, we remind people, those who are following us, you definitely know what this is going to be about. For those who are not following us, make sure to follow us and keep an eye out for whenever we drop an episode. And, you know, follow us on LinkedIn, you'll find snippets and some cool stuff right there. And just to jump right into it, this episode, as you nice people all know, is all about assessing. And I want to ask the question, which will lead to follow-up and more and more questions, but the main subject of this episode will be, what areas of a business does digital transformation impact, and how can you assess the benefits? So let's take the lead, but I'll leave the mic to you now, Patrick, and I'll jump in with questions.
Great. Thanks, Daoud. I mean, there's kind of four big areas that digital transformation impacts. Of course, it's not exhaustive, and I'll mention a couple of other outlying areas that, you know, different businesses may be interested in. But I mean, we see big potential impacts of digital transformation and tech maturity and operational efficiency in the area of customer experience, business growth, revenue growth, both in the B2C and B2B environments, and also kind of workforce transformation, which can be directly tied to operational efficiency, but it's not identical. Certainly, though it's not a big area of focus for us, you know, in kind of manufacturing and other areas, you could, you know, definitely see supply chain related, distribution, ERP related benefits as well. But that's not so much what we're going to be focusing on today.
Yes, and definitely. And it also, you know, touches on the, it always has something to do with something to do with something to do with something that we said, which is the currency state assessment, which I have alluded to before, which touches on tech, process, people, and data. So these four areas of the business relate directly to these four areas of assessment that you should be doing whenever you know, trying to get into digital transformation. So I'm just, you know, stating the fact, and you should definitely see the link between these four and these four. So
thank you. That's really helpful. Yeah, absolutely.
So let's launch the first one. And you talked about operational efficiency, and I know that digital transformation has a lot to say, like have had a lot to do with making processes move faster and things being more efficient than they are already. And we've seen it a lot over the years. But, you know, how would you say that digital transformation nowadays, we're almost in 2024, impacts operational efficiency, and how can it create such an impact, you know, when it comes to operations and processes, and how can it make it more efficient, more productive, more impactful?
Sure. I mean, there's a few different ways, but, you know, automation of one, you know, of automation of kind of rote processes is one big area, in terms of, anytime you can, you know, streamline, you know, key kind of inputs to the business or processing of data, in ways that doesn't require like a human intervention, or maybe it only requires it from a kind of a quality assurance perspective or something like that, right? But if you can take key pieces that are time and labor intensive and turn them into automated processes, I think is the biggest one. And that comes across different teams. So with centralizing a lot of data elements into the cloud, not, you know, one area we see a lot of data centralization around data warehouses, but many pieces of kind of more operationally related data can also be centralized in the cloud and utilize, you know, functionality that is also rooted in the cloud to automatically ingest data when new files become available, or you know, updates become available, running sort of batched processes at a regular cadence, you know, versus human beings having to kick off and monitor those processes. Alert the kind of real-time alerting. So I mean, many processes have been automated for a long time, but monitoring for anomalies, failed processes, right? Making sure that we're on top of the quality component, right? Just automating something and then sort of forgetting about it is also a recipe for disaster, right? It might streamline the efficiency of something, but if you don't have ongoing sort of monitoring and alerting, that's also a recipe for disaster, right? Because then things break and nobody is aware potentially for some period of time, and then you have to go back and fix these issues, right? So I think that's a key point of part of operational efficiency is not just making sure tasks get automated, but that the quality and robustness of those processes is also maintained. And I think that's maybe one of the big fears for people who have not automated some key things, is maybe they either don't realize or don't trust the fact that there's also ways to build really robust monitoring and alerting processes for failed automation and anomaly detection, et cetera. So I think you do have to, but you have to consider both of those when you're thinking about operational efficiency to really assess the impact. Again, certain things like onboarding customers where something like an application may be needed, ingesting government identification. So in kind of financial services, stock trading, other kinds of online businesses where you need to, you're trying to kind of streamline account creation and customer onboarding. A lot of that can actually be automated, and so you kind of segregate those kind of straight through processed accounts versus those that require manual review or follow up, right? And so therefore you're really allocating your resources more effectively to those applicants that require manual follow-up, and you're getting those other potential customers right into the, now they have an active account. So things like that can be automated. On the ad ops side, which is more near and dear to my world, right, you can streamline a lot of aspects of your media buying today through APIs and, structured data files to, build out your getting creative assets into your ad server or your DSP, trafficking those campaigns, the landing page URLs, right? All of the campaign tagging, all this can be done in really automated fashion. And again, big risk, especially if you're an agency, you don't want to traffic 20,000 landing page URLs that are wrong, right? Broken pages, incorrect landing pages, incorrect campaign tagging, all those things. But you can also make those same mistakes manually, right? And agencies do it all the time. So it's more about, again, you have to build in those quality controls, the checklists. You have to use tools that can help you mitigate the risk of those things. But those are risks. I think it's really naive to say doing that as a manual process eliminates that risk. It sure doesn't. But the big thing with automation is it increases the likelihood of those risks coming to fruition and nobody noticing. So you need to, again, have that kind of monitoring and quality assurance piece built upfront into your processes that you're going to automate, as well as that ongoing monitoring and alerting. So for, I think for media, it's the quality assurance needs to be at the level of the build sheets that you use in order to populate those campaigns. And you need to have very solid measurement frameworks, taxonomy, taxonomy builder tools. You could use a tool such like a Clarivine that will actually not allow you to build a campaign URL that's either a 404. It will not allow you to tag the URL with unapproved campaign attributes. So there's a lot of different ways that you can ensure the quality of the data that you're moving through your automation pipelines. Yeah. Those are just a couple of examples, but I think you might be on mute.
I was saying that, we did touch up on some key aspects of the business when it comes to, what areas digital transformation impact. And one of the things that you said, like when you gave example, like three or four of them, I thought of from the perspective of a customer to us, like processes that can be automated, personalizations that can be done. All I could think of, you're thinking from a strategic perspective as someone who deals with management and CEOs, C-level people and stuff like that when it comes to digital transformation. But all I could think of, how do I see the impact myself as a customer? And, how processes are faster, how personalized messaging are more impactful. And as you said, when it comes to risk, it is risk. As a customer, if something falls off, like the cracks, I will see it. And, it impacts me. It impacts me, fully. Because, I am the one who is facing this. So I want to ask, and how do you balance the impact that ET or digital transformation has when it comes to your customer experience without, fearing something going on when it comes to automation like that?
Sure. I would answer two ways. I guess one would be sort of head on, which is to say, are your manual processes, or let's just say, let's not even say manual, because even if you haven't gone through digital transformation, probably a lot of customer experience is probably being influenced by things that are not just pure manual processes anyway. So let's just say the relationship of digital transformation to customer experience. I would just ask somebody today, are you delivering the customer experience that you want to? And where are the areas where you are potentially falling short in the delivery of customer experience? And what are the factors that are causing that, right? Like, do you send mismatched email messaging? Like, are you, do you not have proper, geographic information about your users? Like, are you sending, Japanese language emails to a English-speaking segment? Are you sending emails to people who would prefer a push notification? Are you, failing to properly orchestrate your marketing? So are you not migrating, acquired customers out of your general prospecting channels, right? There's a whole bunch of things you could be doing impacting customer experience. And I think those, all of those same questions I would have, whether you have gone through a process of increasing your digital maturity or not. And then I would start asking the questions. Okay, where are the risks that you face now? And what would the risks be if you increase your digital maturity, right? Automate some of this, or just do better data orchestration and all these things. So I still think it's probably the same risks in the sense of, data gaps, data silos, fragmented data, misaligned marketing tactics and messaging and offers, et cetera, misalignment between sales, support, fulfillment, etc., right? So I would say in almost all cases, increased digital maturity would give you more orchestration of that data and the opportunity to better align things that are misaligned today. But the risks, right? The risks on a higher level of, or let's just say you've improved your digital capabilities. This is where the people and processes come in for digital transformation. Like, if you build more tools that give you, let's say, more levers to reach your customers and more levers to buy media at scale, but you do it poorly, that's where the kind of risk is. So in other words, if you just increase your technical and data capabilities, but you execute on that very poorly, there's a lot of risk there, because you can potentially be spending more on media in more channels, reaching existing and potential customers with irrelevant, misaligned, poor messaging, poor creative, being unable to measure it appropriately and consistently, And so you're just going to proliferate things that you're doing poorly into more areas. That would be the risk, I think. You know, and so you could be, in essence, you could be magnifying poor customer experience into more areas where you could reach customers. I don't think that many businesses are sort of quite in that boat, but some are. Some are somewhere on the spectrum, right? So this kind of highlights, though, the need to coordinate all aspects of digital maturity. I used customer experience as an example, customer engagement as an example in the last episode. I think this is another, I mean, this is a great place to kind of reinsert that example, right? So if you're using a strong customer engagement platform, you know, we work closely with MoEngage, and you're coordinating, you know, SMS, email, push notifications in app, desktop, you know, notifications. You can even bring in things like, you know, IoT, like API-based, you know, pushes to connected devices. There's a whole bunch of ways you can reach customers through customer engagement channels. If you're coordinating that through your CDP as well, right? So you have very good insights into that full customer engagement, you know, journey and how you can optimize all of that messaging, right? I think what a lot of people don't realize is the amount of upfront work that is done by the customer success team in onboarding a tool like that, where you're mapping out, you know, potentially 3-4 dozen different customer journeys, right? Different customer segments. And you have kind of a strategic, you know, goal overall for customer engagement, and then you have tactic level, you know, details down to very specific audiences at a very specific point in their customer life cycle. That's not the tool itself isn't doing all of that, right? This is part of the use case design. This is part of the creativity of the work we do, and these tools are going to then help you execute and deliver that in the most relevant way to each person, right? So so having a really kick-ass tool, but a really poorly executed strategy and set of tactics there is risk there, right? Yeah, there definitely is risk there, because you're increasing your cost to do customer engagement by investing in that tool with the hope of realizing some benefit. And realizing that benefit relies on, using the tool in the best way possible. You got to give it, like, you can't put, you have to put high performance fuel in a high performance car in order for it to run properly, right? So I think you need a high performance use case in a high performance marketing tool to, you know, to reap similar benefits, right?
Yeah, you definitely do. I want to touch on something also, since we are in the high performance and, you know, back to strategic level, because we started with operational efficiencies, which is strategic. Then we moved on into customer experience and engagement, which is more frontline. Now we're getting back to strategic with, you know, with your example, which ties to last episode when we talked about ROI, which is business growth, which is something that, you know, it is as complicated as it gets, but it is also as necessary and as important to have good insight about as as it gets also. So
yeah,
and I guess we did touch on it a little bit in the last episode, but there is always, from a strategic level this time, there is always something that you can add when it comes to specifically business growth and, you know, how DT impacts business goals on a strategic level that can also manifest into lower delivery features. A delivery feature is the front line, and it becomes more apparent to the customer. So.
I think business growth is obviously, top of mind. I mean, I think, getting operational efficiency, cost cutting measures, those things only go so far. They make a huge, those things can make a huge impact on profitability of a business. But ultimately, most companies do want to achieve some form of sustainable growth over time. So finding ways to, do a better job of growing the existing customer base, the value of that customer base, and acquiring new customers effectively and efficiently is really important. I think the relationship of digital transformation there is several fold. I think the biggest area is through better, more integrated, centralized orchestration of data has a huge role to play in that. It's allowing companies at the forefront to do really advanced data-driven segmentation, really granular analysis on their customer files, understand, who their customers are, buying behaviors, the performance of different product families, service areas, right? All these different things, right? So it's giving the most advanced companies a lot more trustworthy insights into how they can use, paid media effectively, right? How they can go acquire more of their ideal customers, how they can spend less money in areas that are not profitable. Having a better understanding, we talked in the last episode, that kind of relationship between the kind of over the long haul business trends, as you build brand awareness, market penetration, all of these things, and that relation to short-term kind of demand capture, in the marketplace. I think the better your measurement framework today, and the more rooted it is in first party data, especially with the increasing decline of third party cookies and third party based tracking, first party data strategies are just more crucial than ever. But it's kind of funny, right? Because if you go back 30 or 40 years, catalog marketers have, they're kind of like the OGs of first party data, right? They have these relentless teams of people analyzing their catalog subscription base and, understanding the response rates to sending out catalogs, what products are bought, who bought, right? Like, can you get people to do a repeat purchase? These kind of business questions are not new, right? But the scale of data and the speed at which people can analyze this data in a digital landscape, that has changed a lot. There are more and more technologies and methods available around addressable media, across all kinds of different paid media tactics. So the ability to set, again, going back to the segmentation I mentioned earlier, right? The ability to pinpoint desirable customer segments and to actually reach those people reliably through various high quality publishers and media formats is really, really, really crucial to, continue to be able to efficiently build your customer base and reach your existing customers. In terms of e-commerce, I would say in the B2B space as well, that ability to use data real time to deliver the most relevant experiences possible on your website, in app, and in your communication channels, right? It's, you know, it's probably easier than ever to, you know, if you come to my website, Daoud, and you trust that I'm an ethical company, you know, you're willing to give me your email address and or your phone number, right? And you engage with two or three articles on my website, you download a white paper, you tell me you want to hear from me, I better damn well coordinate, you know, if my sales team reaches out to you, they should know what you're interested in, right? If we send you an email or an SMS, or we try to reach out to you on LinkedIn or something, we should know the interaction points we've had with you, and we should offer you something that aligns to your interests, and we should be prepared to offer something of value to continue that engagement with you, right? And to nurture that that process along. So I'm kind of making up here a little B2B scenario, but I mean, we should be able to do a good job of delivering you relevant content. Now, we may not win you as a customer, but we should at least have the data ammunition we need, right? To say, how can we surprise and delight Daoud? Could we offer him something of value? Can we entice, you know, is there a way we can provide a demo? Is there a way we can get on a call with him if maybe he's not ready yet? Is there additional, you know, content that we can deliver? How can we stay engaged with this person who has clearly decided to, you know, engage with us? I think these are the areas of business, you know, for business growth that, you know, is really being able to kind of, you know, utilize kind of data as close to real time as possible in a privacy friendly, consent based way, to tailor experiences from day one and continue to refine the experiences that we deliver and the engagement we deliver for the best results possible.
And lastly, how do you assess the impact of getting on people, data, technologies within your company to end up at the strategic level and to give your hints to our next steps?
Sure. I think in one way, this ties back to our discussion from the last episode, which is, you know, you do need to look at the kind of the financial aspect of it. So part of the assessment needs to be that post-mortem. This is what you estimated the impact was going to be. This is what you estimated the cost was going to be. You said it was going to, you know, pay for itself within 12 months. Well, what does this really look like, right? Are we seeing the benefits? Were the costs in line with what we estimated they were? And are we exceeding that ramp up period? Are we lagging that ramp up period, right? All those kinds of, questions you need to ask. Then some of them are qualitative as well. I mean, there's a reason why we survey customers and potential customers with qualitative data in addition to measuring our KPIs, right? So I think you do need to, I mean, if you've been doing very little personalization and you started doing a great deal of personalization, you might want to find out if you'll see it in your success metrics, but you'll also see if you ask people, right? So it's one thing if you're making life better for 10% of your customers and they're really liking it, but if 50% of your customers say, hey, like when you deliver this kind of like content, it's really creepy, right? Or like, this feels a little intrusive, my grandma doesn't need Viagra, right? Like there's, right? So like, maybe you'll know if you're off message, if you're using a platform that can deliver really tailored personal experiences, to deliver off message, sort of irrelevant messaging, mismatched messaging, you'll know soon, right? So I think but the math has to work, right? I mean, at the end of the day, you need to be able to prove results. So there is the qualitative piece, you know, is your workforce more efficient? Like, did you gain those efficiency gains you thought? Are those automated processes actually allowing you to take people's time and have them do more valuable work, right? More creative work, getting more productivity out of people or not. You either are or you aren't, and you need to measure that. But there is that qualitative piece as well. And I think on the, especially on the customer experience side, the digital experience side, customer engagement side, you need to make sure that both the metrics are improving and that the qualitative experience is improving. Thanks, Todd. See you next time.
And that's a wrap for this episode of the Digital Disruption Podcast. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into the world of digital transformation and gained valuable insights to help navigate the ever-changing landscape. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for future episodes, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach us on our website, esens.com, or connect with us on social media. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and stay tuned for more exciting discussions on the forefront of digital innovation. Remember, the future is now, and it's time to embrace the power of transformation. Thanks for listening, and until next time.